So welcome back to the Black Is Break with yours truly, KC Layman. We have the podcast of champions today. Today is the Podcasters Roundtable, where we are talking to some of our favorite podcasters. Tonight's guests are Burberry Jones from the Burberry Lounge, Mr. Moody of Mr. Moody's Neighborhood, Rod from the Black Guy Who Tips, and Daryl Frierson from the Straight Out of Low Cash podcast and the From Ashy to Classy website. How you doing this evening, gentlemen?
Good.
Well.
Blessed to be a blessing.
Awesome. And tonight's topic is podcasting, the new FM radio. And I put this on the table tonight, you guys, because I'm starting to discover myself as a podcaster, so many other podcasts. I don't know how all of you got started with your podcast, and so that might be something that we can delve into tonight. I know I started podcasting because I had a website. I wanted to have a greater multimedia component, make it into an audio-visual experience. And so starting with audio, I started podcasting, and through it, I discovered this whole world of podcasters. And I was already somebody who was off of the radio. I hadn't listened to radio in at least 10 years because I got tired of hearing the same thing over and over again. And so now, especially with the smartphones and the ability to log into websites like iTunes and Stitcher Radio and Blog Talk Radio, there's really no need to listen to the radio because everything you need from music to talk radio can be found almost customized to your specific taste through podcasting. What do you guys think about that? And can you please start with telling me how you got into podcasting and what your take is on podcasting over the time from whence you started to now?
Wow.
I know it's a tall order.
I'll go ahead and start on this one since I talked about it in my show this week.
Mm-hmm.
I started podcasting in January of this year. I've done like 23, 24 shows. And the reason I got into it was I'm a lot like you. I don't listen to the radio, so I'm always looking for something else. And when I was DJing in college and stuff, I just really got heavy into internet music and things like that. So I stumbled upon like podcasts on my iPhone, and I was just thumbing through looking for something that I would listen to, and I came across Mr. Moody's Neighborhood. And so I checked him out, thought he was full of shit for a couple of episodes, but I listened. He still had me listening. He was like one of my uncles, just full of shit. Like, you just get a bottle of Hennessy and listen to him talk. So, I'm going to try this. So I contacted Moody, and we started talking, and I told him what my goals were, what I wanted to do, and then he helped me get started, and then that just pretty much been it. It just went from there.
Okay, Moody, because I like you, Burberry. Moody was probably one of the first podcasts I came across, and Chris and I started listening to it, and I was hooked. And we started listening to a few more, but we found ourselves, because his show was coming on so consistently, and it just happened to fit our schedule Thursday nights, we were always home chilling, we just started listening to it, and it definitely inspired us. But before Moody, there was a brother who I work with named John who has a website called Sickly Cat. And Sickly Cat had a podcast called Thick Chicks Radio, and it was a black woman and a white woman, both of them full figured, and they would just have these conversations about men and dating, and I thought it was hysterical. So between them and Moody, those were my two inspirations. Moody, how did you get into this?
The funny thing about me and podcasting, I got introduced to podcasting almost 7 years ago, and I didn't really understand podcasting at all. I was just in the studio, and some guys were sitting around talking. It was like, hey, come sit here and talk with us. And I sat down and talked to them, and they were talking about movie directing and stuff like that. So that podcast kind of came and went. A couple of years later, I decided, after doing a couple of various things around the smaller level of industry in Atlanta, I decided I wanted to vent myself. And so I started a company. I got with my cousin Ed. And I told him, hey, man, I want a podcast. I want to go all out, whatever, whatever. One of the podcasters that really got me very interested when I took it serious, his name is Tariq Nasheed from the Mac Lessons radio show.
Yeah.
I used to just listen to dude, and at first, you know, with that Mac shit, I'm not a Mac. I'm not a pimp. I'm not into all that bullshit, but once I started listening to his show enough, I understood that's not at all what he was talking about. He was just talking about mastering life, mastering relationships, mastering your money. So I started listening to him. As we went along and I realized that other people were listening to what we were saying, I realized that we are really giants. And I don't think people understand that all the time when they podcast, you know. Burberry and KC, thank you so much for the props, but I'm always uncomfortable with that because I'm not even the best podcaster out. I don't even touch it or come close to it. What happens is we are giants. We can influence people from all backgrounds, from all colors. Our word kind of matters to a couple of thousand people per week. Even if it's 100, that's a lot of people. You know, Jim Jones making them motherfuckers drink the Kool-Aid. I don't know how many people were there, but it wasn't as many people that listen to Black Guy Who Tips or Mr. Moody's Neighborhood or Black Is. So once I realized that what we were saying kind of mattered, I kind of thought that we were like new radio. And what makes us better than radio is that we don't have rules. We play what we want. We say what we want. We edit our shows how we want. The politics haven't entered the business yet. It will. So that's how we started. I started with some guys that was just doing it. They understood it better than me, listening to Tariq Nasheed. Then I started doing my own thing. And, like, when you look at we call Burberry the Rookie of the Year. Burberry is better than I ever was in this short amount of time. You know, when you look at and that's the power of podcasting. We're here to teach the next one to come along how to do it better and quicker than we did it. Burberry is a superior podcaster to me when I was 23 shows in. So is Daryl and Javon Bibbs and all the guys from Straight OLC. When you listen to Rod, he's one of the best guys doing it, and I don't even take that credit for myself because I don't think I am. We're the new FM radio because we're the new direction. People are really weaning themselves off of that cubicle. When they're in the cubicle, they're getting tired of the same five songs. They're getting tired of the same conversation, the same politics. And we're giving people an outlet now where what we say is what they've always wanted to say, but they can't. So we are the new FM radio. That's my short version, Casey. So.
If you like what you're hearing so far, make sure you like us on Facebook at Black Is Magazine and follow us on Twitter at Black Is Online. Now, back to the show.
Tell us your experience being not only a podcaster but a blogger, most recently showcased in Black Enterprise with your blog from Ashy to Classy. How did podcasting come to you?
Wait, I ain't gonna front though. I'm about to go on Moody though. I think one of the first podcasts, actually, you know what? I first got a computer maybe four or five years ago. Like a laptop, I was like, okay, I'm gonna download iTunes to put all my music on there. So I was like, what is this podcast thing? So I went through the podcast section, and actually, the first show that I got as a podcast was Fat Man Scoop Show. I don't know if people used to remember.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was one of the first podcasts I got, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna get on some new music in there. You know, they'll talk a little bit. So that was kind of like the first thing I got into it. But then, like in the MySpace days, I got on Tariq Nasheed through that. I'd heard of him before in his books and stuff, but I got on his podcast stuff back then. This is back in 06, 07. somewhere around 05, maybe even 05, I think, maybe something like that.
Yeah, about 05. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 05 or so. Yeah. So I got onto that and was listening. So I just stayed with like a couple of few like that one, and then I would listen to Hot 97 used to put up a podcast of their shows for a while though, and they had like Wendy Williams and Charlamagne Tha God used to be on there together. Not Wendy Williams. It's Miss Jones and Charlamagne.
Mm-hmm.
And so I used to listen to that at work, either live or not. So it was like it's kind of that foreign though. So I was like, okay, I could check out my shows. I used to live in New York for a while. I got to check out the shows I used to listen to back when I was in New York, when I'm back here in St. Louis. Cool. So I started getting it on like that. And then I guess fast forward, I was like, man, I can't get these shows. They were starting to put them in a podcast format. And I was like, okay. So I started listening to podcasts more and more. And then I actually, my older brother, who's a writer, so he's getting his PhD at Cornell, he actually put me on the Bomani Jones show, the Morning Jones show. Maybe like 2 years ago, he's like, man, you need to check out the dude, Bomani Jones, man, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay. And so I downloaded that thing. And I actually, the first time I heard Rod was on the Bomani Jones show. I know all this stuff was going to come full circle in 1 second. So I was like, okay, I'm going to check this. He kept on saying, I'm doing this Spice Show, the Black Guy. I was like, man, I don't know about these podcasts, man. I just downloaded the Bomani Jones, and I had to download the Two Live Stews. Those are the two only podcasts I had on my iTunes. And I was like, I'm just going to rock out with those. So then I was like, okay, I'm going to try this Black Guy. Because Rob be saying some dope stuff. So I got on his podcast, and then it opened up another world to, like, Mr. Moody, opened me up to Burberry, opened me up to Casey's, and it's this whole different world of people and just what they're doing. And so I was talking to Javon, and I was like, dude, man, you should do a radio show. I was telling him he should do something, though, like that. And, I don't know, this is something about comedians, or maybe in general, if you're, like, focused on something, though, he goes so hard on comedy. He doesn't understand the marketing aspect of who he is sometimes as a comic and all the little small things he'd be doing to get his stuff out there. So I was like, you know what, dude? I'm going to start the podcast, dude. So he was like, all right. I think at first he was like, he thought I was bullshitting at first. So I was like, all right. And then like 3 weeks later, I had a DJ, everything, no studio and everything ready to go. He's like, man, you weren't bullshitting, huh? I was like, yeah, I weren't bullshitting. So come through, let's do it. And now Javon is flourishing on this show. He's got like all kind of different things going on from the show. And it's some fun I want to do, though, but it's more for my boy to really get be at a place to do his comedy, though. It's me to just talk shit and hang out with people and bring the people in the studio. Because I really bank on more of what my blog is doing, though. That's more kind of what my passion is. And the radio show is, too, though. It becomes even more, but it's more of a vessel for my homeboy, really, to get his comedy out there more, though, and get his avenue out there, you know. Because he was already getting popular. He'd been on BT's comedy and all that, but that podcast format takes me to a whole other level where it keeps more and more people hearing, oh, Javon Bibbs, Javon Bibbs, Javon Bibbs. It ain't just like a thing now. Because the thing I was talking about is like, and we were talking about before, I did an interview on my website. He's like, there's no avenue for comics to really have been like a BT Comic View or people know your name. Like back in the day, you know, he was on BT Comic View the last season it was on ever. So he didn't really get a chance to really juice it up like other people did. Like you can actually, I don't know if y'all remember back in the day, you could be like, yeah, this is James Williams for a comic view. People are like, oh, yeah. I just come out and see them because they had that name recognition. Mm-hmm. Now he could be like, yo, well, yeah, you know you heard my podcast and those different things to get him out there and to make more of he'll build his own. And us, period, all of us and all we're doing, we're building our own audience. Instead of like a radio format, you come in with a built-in audience.
Right.
So we're building our audiences from the ground up. So literally, if a network like Sirius did want a Mr. Moody's Neighborhood, Mr. Moody could be like, well, you know, I already got 10,000 subscribers. What you talking about?
Right.
So if you're building your own audiences, and you could take them around with you because they're more loyal because you had to really dig for your audience. And that's really been the whole thing about the Straight Out Low Cash movement, starting it from the base end. And I used my blog to push it more, so it got a little bit more fast of a push. But still, it's been, you know, hard to get people involved.
Right. Now, Rod, I saved you for last because you are a podcaster who I honestly stand in awe of, because either you have figured out how to make podcasting your full-time job or you don't sleep. And if you have children, I'm shocked. Like the way Moody said it is, you know, Rod and Karen, his wife Karen, they put out 3 episodes a week of The Black Guy's Tips. And we're talking 3 3-hour-long episodes. Chris and I were fortunate enough to be guests. And the time goes by so quickly with the way Rod hosts the conversation. And, I mean, it's so smooth and so sleek. I mean, you do it so well. It's just, it's phenomenal. So I want to know your story. How did you get started? How did you get to this format? How long have you and Karen been doing this? How did you get to the 3 days a week? And let us know, is this what you do for a living? Is this your full-time job?
No, this is not my full-time job.
So you don't sleep?
I don't sleep much. I mean, I sleep, but I don't sleep much. But, first of all, thank y'all for the compliments, man, sincerely. The thing about the show that's been crazy to me is how popular it's gotten and how fast that's happened, because I don't know. It's just, it's insane to me. Like, I was thinking the other day, I'm the most famous person at my job in my entire building, and I don't think anybody knows it. That's crazy to me that can even exist, man. But how I started was I actually had a blog. I had a MySpace page. Shout out to MySpace. On MySpace, one of the options is you could blog. And I had a couple of friends or whatever, and, you know, I would just email my friends, like, every day. And while I was at work bored, I'd come up with these lists, and it would just be like, oh, Rod's Random Thoughts. That would just, and we used to call them the randoms. And I would just send out, like, a list, you know, a couple times a week, like, hey, man, isn't this funny? Or did you hear about this or whatever? And they were all short, like, I don't know, 2 to 3 sentence paragraphs or something, or some of them were just like one sentence, you know what I mean? Like, it didn't even, like it might say the perfect pornographic movie is a masterpiece, but it'd be spelled like master with a U, like masturbation or something. And so it'll be like a real short, like, that was a good chuckle. And so I started putting it on my blog and like advertising it kind of on MySpace, like, hey, check it out. And, you know, a couple people checked it out. It wasn't anything big, but I felt a tremendous satisfaction from it that I wasn't getting from work. And it's like I just had this creative thing inside me where I just like need to speak on shit. Like, I just feel that need. Like, I know it's narcissistic or whatever, but, you know, that is what drives me. Is I you know, even when I take time off of my the podcast, I feel like, fuck, man, I have so much I could be saying right now. So that was the first step, was the blog. And then I think I was about 17. Also, at the same time, I started listening to AM Talk Radio because I was working in a corporate environment where I was an intern and they didn't have shit for me to do. So I would sit in this room folding up these labels and listening to Rush Limbaugh, Dr. Laura Schlesinger, and people like that. And so, I'm basically just sitting there chilling or whatever. And I'm like, damn, I can't, like, I have no outlet. I'm feeling kind of trapped in here. This isn't a creative job. So I write. And, I've done this since I was a kid. I write in classrooms. I write in, I would write during my notes. Like, I just can't help myself but write. And because of that, I think I just always kind of needed an outlet. And then when the blog kind of, you know, died down, I created my own website, theblackouttips.blogspot.com. Started posting it up there. And, you know, that same thing was big among my friends, but just a few friends. I've always, you know, had a great conversation with Karen and enjoyed our relationship. So we had that going. And we've also, had like a group of friends that like to talk and stuff like that, and had these conversations that I was finding out that these conversations were unique. I thought these conversations were like what everybody talks about. And before I met new people, I was like, nobody fucking talks about this shit. Like, why doesn't anybody talk like this? I started listening to podcasts. I heard Keith and the Girl, which is my favorite podcast. I think they're the best podcasters, period, in the world. And, you know, they're not famous people. They're just two people. And they were like, you know, they started this show and they built this thing from the ground up, and they do make a living off of it. And I thought what they were doing was so impressive. And listening to every episode, it's like I went through their journey with them. Mm-hmm. So at some point I was like, wait a minute, man. I was listening to an episode and Keith used the N-word. And I was like, huh. I had to pause it. I turned it off. I was like, hey, he just said nigger. Like, what the fuck? Like, it was in a joke and everything. It wasn't like, you know, some type of like, I hate niggers or something. But it was just like, it made comedic sense. But part of me was just like, I've never heard a white person say that on something that's going out to the world. And so I think that moment was actually the moment where I was like, I could do this. Like, I don't know why I feel like, you know, I've jumped over that hurdle and was like, you know what, you can say anything as long as it's funny and it makes sense, I'll listen to it. And then part of me was just like, I don't know why I can't do that. And I didn't see a lot of blackness out there in that podcasting sphere. And I was like, what? Who's speaking to me? Who's speaking for me? Who's trying to get my attention and give my demographic some love? And I was like, you know what? I'm going to be the dude that does it, man. So I was like, I, if I don't see anybody, I will, you know, I'll just do it myself. And what happened was, as I started doing it, I was like, you know, I came up with a plan. Like it took like 6 months to do it, but I was like, I got to get Karen on it. That's important to me, because I need a partner in this, because I don't want to be crazy like these people that do these podcasts by themselves. No offense, Burberry. But I was like, if you do the show by yourself, it always comes off like a little bit crazy to me. And I need someone to check me like a little bit, like, oh no, nigga, that don't make sense. I could be like, oh damn, you're right. Cause you know how it is. But, so I was like, yeah, I'm gonna get Karen to do it. Cause she's the most reliable person I know. And she doesn't even know it, but she's funny as hell and she'll be great at this. Like she's like, oh, if you want to do the show by yourself, you want to get another person eventually. I'm like, no, it's you. And I promise you, people are going to love you. Just be you. Don't worry about. They will love you because I love you, and they won't have a fucking choice but to. So I think that's what started the endeavor. And if you hear our very first show, which we've never taken down, sometimes I think we should. It's terrible. It is the we tried to record like I think it was our third time actually recording the show, and we were tired and everything wasn't working, but we got that fucking show out that night. And I was like, no one's going to listen to this, but at least we got it started. And I don't know, man. Word just spread like wildfire. People were telling each other. People on Twitter started following me. People started, I would see people telling each other about the show. We started just coming up with shit on the fly, and I started discovering all these other black podcasts. And I was like, well, shit, we're not alone. All of us should be working together. And if I'm a fan of you, there's no reason that I should feel like I'm a competitor with you, because that, to me, that's asinine. So, I think a lot of people before us were looking at it like, I'm a podcaster, but I don't want to split my audience with you, so I'm not going to talk about your show, and I'm not going to tell people to check you out. And I was like, that's the exact fucking opposite of what we need to be doing. First of all, we are black, and we're talking to a black audience. So right there, we need to start working together, because that's like we're talking to like 20% of people with these computers and shit. Let's go and get everybody on the same page. And then the other thing was, hey man, we need a voice. Like, why don't we have a fucking voice out here, man? It was frustrating. It made me mad. And I was like, you know, when I want to hear black voices, I want to, and not just celebrities and comedians and shit like that. I want to hear motherfuckers on the come up. Like, I want to hear a dude on the show that all he got is a blog, and he's not famous. You know what I mean? I want to hear a dude that he has a podcast, and that's it, and he's on the show. So, you know, we made it. And then everybody else started making it. And, like, I don't know, I'm still humbled by it, man, because I see that we made, like, I think 51 on Stitcher's comedy list this week. We made, we were, like, the top 10 most shared or something like that. And I'm always amazed that we got that fucking popular. Two niggas in a fucking apartment, spare bedroom, with a microphone in the mixer. That's crazy. So, yeah.
Check out the hippest podcast in America, BlackIsOnline.com.
Do you mind if I ask you a question?
No, go ahead.
How did you get started?
With Black Is, the site itself, I started that in 2007 out of sheer boredom. I had been working for a publishing company that I loved, and the company was sold to a larger company on the East Coast. So I immediately took a job in PR because that was something I was familiar with, but it was in it was in an area of PR that wasn't necessarily my passion. I was doing PR for architects and designers. And as much as I find architecture and design interesting, it's definitely not what I'm all that passionate about. And so while I was there, I noticed that there was not – I didn't feel there was a lot of black cultural blogs online. Definitely not a lot geared toward Los Angeles, and it seemed like the ones that were online were focused more toward gossip and celebrity information. And I wanted something that was a bit more militant. And at that time, Black is, like now the tagline is dedicated to the Black experience. At that time, it was dedicated to Black consciousness. and that was the focus. And I tried to format it like a monthly magazine. So I would have a new, quote-unquote, issue every month. I would interview different people in the community, different up-and-coming artists, all kinds of different stuff we had going on. It was a different version of what we have today. That site lasted about a year and a half, and then some personal things happened. You know, Chris and I decided we were going to have a family, and all of the work of it began to be too much, so I let the site go around the end of 2008. I brought it back at the beginning of 2010 because I missed it. And podcasting followed shortly thereafter. I realized, one, the internet in that short amount of time had changed. People were blogging a lot more. And so my monthly magazine issue was not getting the same kind of, it would not get the same kind of traction as it had in 2007 if I didn't have new content every day. So I changed the website to more of a blog in the setup, even though, you know, it still kind of functions like a magazine, but there's going to be fresh content at least 5 days a week. And then I realized, too, people weren't reading as much as they used to. As much as I'm an avid reader, a lot of the commentary that I received from people, even when I first started Black Is, was that, oh, the articles are good, but, girl, they are so long. And that used to trip me out. I'm like, really?
Yeah,
the length of them are too long. And I've had people say, you know, I'd rather watch a 2-minute video or listen to 2-minute audio than read 3 or 4 paragraphs. So I started podcasting after I listened to, like I said, Sickly Cat and the Thick Chicks Radio. They got us started because they had the whole equipment set up. And so we would go to their crib. Shout out to John and Kiana Bird. We would go to their crib and record our podcast. But they had their own site, and it's funny. John and I work together now. We have a couple of irons in the fire. But with that particular thing, the timing between us recording and actually getting the podcast up, it was going too slow for me. I'm impatient. I'll be real honest about that. I can't even sugarcoat it. I'm very impatient. And so I was like, fuck this. Let me figure this out for myself. And I got on GarageBand and figured out how to edit and all that sort of stuff. And after that, it was all she wrote. This year, we decided we were going to make it a truly regular thing. And so we've been aiming to have a new show to you guys every week. I know we started off kind of slow this year. We had all these technical issues. But we're trying to get as consistent as possible. And I love it. I discovered something about myself that I did not know before. I really enjoy the audio format. I really enjoy kind of having my own radio show. And what I love the kind of thought-provoking conversations that I have with our panel, because most of us are LA kids. Some of us grew up together, or at least we knew of each other. But we come from so many varied backgrounds and different perspectives. And the challenge that's presented at the table, there's always a challenge presented at the table. Even in conversations where I anticipate there's going to be some solidarity, there's always challenge or a point of view that I didn't anticipate. I always use the reparations podcast as the best example. I just knew that was going to be hands down the shortest podcast session ever, because I was like, we're basically going to all agree that X, Y, and Z is the situation with reparations. And I could not have foreseen that conversation would go the way it went. So that's how I got into it, and that's where we are now. Why?